is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
It's happening on Saturday and Sunday, a big series of events revolving around Koi, the Koi Expo. And Jim Daniels in to talk about it. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
So, first of all, kind of give us an overview of what's going to be taking place on Saturday.
Well, we have an expo, which is a little different than a koi show. We're just having koi there for people to see. We have some koi for sale. And then in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, we'll have an auction where you can buy koi for your pond. There's some exceptional fish for sale.
So where are these fish that are for sale? Where are they coming from?
Different ponds. I'm donating one. Several other members are donating a couple. Some of them are donating multiple fish. And they're all fish. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just, in my case, I'm overpopulated.
So koi, what's the price range on koi?
Anywhere from 50 cents at the local quickie mart that happens to have fish, where you get what you pay for, on up to 1.8 million was the record.
1.8 million?
That's an unusual fish, though. That's a fish that had won a lot of awards, been in a lot of competitions, things like that. Typically, out in the real world, you're going to pay $100 to $1,000 for a fish.
Wow. Now, for people that aren't familiar and can't picture, kind of explain what a koi looks like. How large are they?
They range in size from just a few inches up to the world record back in 2007 was 4 feet long and 90 pounds. And it's really just a fancy carp that's been bred for appearance. It looks really pretty.
Wow. So I'm curious, how did you get interested in koi? What's the fascination?
I came in kind of through the back door. I went over to our realtor to put in an offer on a house, and she said, well, I just got an email from the seller's agent, and it turns out they're going to include these five large koi in the offer, which translated to, we just found out what it costs to ship five large koi to Tucson. So now I have koi. I didn't know what I was doing. They said, here's some food, throw some in. That was about it. I had no clue. So I finally found the Oregon Koi and Water Garden Society. Now that's a club based on the social club based on people who like koi.
And where did things go from there?
From there, we joined the club. Everyone can get a free membership for the first year to see if you really like it. You can do that at the expo, by the way. And we joined. We went to some other people's ponds and saw what other people were doing. We got some help with what we were doing with our pond, and turned out to be a really relaxing experience.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work to me.
You know, it kind of depends on how your pond is set up. Some of the ponds take a few hours a week. Others take a few hours a year. And depending on how you've set it up, how well planned it is, it can be a lot of work and can be, you know, cleaning and dealing with filtration and stuff. But if you have the right setup, you don't have to do much of anything but sit there and drink your coffee and watch.
So the ponds I have seen are kind of moderate in size. I've seen some that I would say are a little bit bigger than I expected, and a lot that are about the same size. But how much do they vary size-wise?
I've seen ponds online that are under 1,000 gallons. In fact, I saw one here in Roseburg that's in the middle of a home that's about 1,000 gallons. The one that's being built that's on the tour, I believe, is 26,000 gallons. Mine is 2,500, and that's still considered relatively small.
How do you have one inside a house?
The house is built all the way around. They have a skylight that's open to the air, and all the filtration and stuff is under the house.
Wow, pretty fascinating. So are a lot of people around here interested in koi? You have a pretty good-sized group?
It's a good-sized group, I think. We have about 80 members, I think, now, currently. We have really couple of dozen that are quite active. In fact, we have a meeting at somebody's house every month where we go and sit by their pond and talk about their pond and their problems and get information from people that are more knowledgeable than each of us are by sharing.
And for people that are doing this, I mean, do some folks do this for decades?
I think so. We have one member that I think has probably been doing it since the 1960s. And other people are just trying to get in. I just talked to someone online a couple of days ago who is building their first pond, has no idea where to start, what to do. And they're all welcome at every level.
Now, are these ponds, do you build them kind of like you would for something else? Are there certain things you do to make them work well for koi?
One of the things we have a problem with everywhere are predators. And predators will come in, raccoons, blue heron, river otter, all sorts of animals come in to feed on your pond. So there are all sorts of ways that you eliminate that. Number one, by having some cover over the top to make it difficult for a bird to come in, to have really steep sides for a little ways and maybe raised area around the edge so the raccoons aren't comfortable going in. They like to have a place they can stand in shallow water. And so if you don't have that, then the raccoons aren't interested. One fellow in the greater Portland area I saw had a real problem because he was on a small stream just behind his house that occasionally had a river otter, and he actually had about an 8-inch high electric fence around his pond.
Wow. I one of the ponds I saw recently, it had a, it wasn't a string, but it was something that looked kind of like a string to me, that it was very, just very thin, and it went over an area of the pond, and I was looking at that, was real baffled, and apparently that was because it would be like a deterrent to birds,
yeah,
because they weren't sure where they, you know, could go necessarily, or and didn't want to get caught up in it, so they just keep going.
I've seen people string monofilament fishing line up high where it's not noticeable to you, but a bird comes in, starts to land, and hits that, and they're gone. They don't want any part of being caught.
Interesting. So for this event, now it's going to be just Saturday at, well, tell us where exactly.
Sherm's Thunderbird Market, which is kind of across the street from Mercy Hospital on Stewart Parkway. And they're very graciously giving us a big chunk of their parking lot to set up. We'll have some exhibits there from people such as Saving Grace. There is a equipment rental company that rents equipment you'd use to build a pond, and an actual pond builder. Plus there will be someone there selling plants to go around the pond. We're selling plants to go in the pond, and all sorts of different things to see besides just the fish.
Now, what kind of plants go in a koi pond?
Oh, they're a long list, as long as your arm. A lot of water lilies and hyacinth and things like that. The pampas grass grows well around the edge. And there's just a lot of things that really like that extra moist soil. There's something called a bog filter, which is where you run water up through a channel that comes right back into the pond, and you fill that channel with pea gravel, and that filters the water coming back in. One of our members has basil growing in that channel.
Interesting. Now, we're going to talk more about the pond event when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Jim Daniel with us, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. Later today, KQEN. Local talk at 4 is True Wealth Radio. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll talk to new Brigadier General Eric Riley of the Oregon National Guard. He was inducted into that new role in a ceremony Saturday in Salem. He'll join us for tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Talking about the Koi Expo happening Saturday at Sherm's Thunderbird Market. It's presented by the Oregon Koi and Water Garden Society. Jim Daniels with us. Now, you have the event, the expo, the auction on Saturday, but you've got something happening on Sunday, too. Tell us about that.
That's right. If you come to the expo, you can pick up tickets for the pond tour, where we have 8 local ponds you can go and take a look at. The owners will be there to talk to you about it. You can kind of sit and visit and get the feel of what it's like to have a pond.
And are these all around Roseburg? Where are they spread out?
They're all around Roseburg. One of them's a little far out on Dairy Loop, and the others are pretty much within or close to the city limits. You'd have to drive, and that means that people won't all arrive at one time. Sometimes people put on pond tours where they have a bus that goes from pond to pond, and it kind of inundates the pond owner, and you as someone going on the tour don't get a chance to spend the time you'd like to or talk. In this case, you're on your own. If you want to spend 10 minutes or an hour, that's strictly up to you.
It seems like, from the ones I've seen, it's almost like eventually creating a work of art. I mean, maybe you come in there with an idea, but anyone that I've ever known who's had one will periodically add to it. They'll change something. Maybe they'll even add to the size or, add a feature, things like that.
That's true. My neighbor just down the street has a pond that started out not much bigger than mine, and now it has consumed his entire backyard on a corner lot. It's huge. It has 2 bog filters, different levels of pools, and waterfalls all around. It's just amazing. He just keeps building and building and building, and his wife keeps scratching her head, what is he doing?
But I know how that goes sometimes with different projects. If somebody does want to get started, it would seem like this would be a good thing to do, is take the tour and see what other people have already done.
Absolutely. And at the expo, you can talk to a builder who makes his living building ponds and talk to them about what it takes to do it, what it takes in the way of time and energy and money, because obviously putting in something as permanent as a pond is not inexpensive. And if you try to go really, really inexpensive doing it, you're liable to wind up with a lot more maintenance than if you do it right the first time.
And what's involved in maintenance?
Maintenance for me, I have filters I have to clean out typically every week or two, and it takes me 15, 20 minutes to do it. Every month or two, I need to take some water out and add fresh water in. Luckily, the Roseburg water is really good, so we don't have to do any treatment for that. But some people have even more maintenance than that. Others have set up filtration systems that they kind of do everything automatically, and it takes a little maintenance once or twice a year.
I imagine, too, like any other animal, fish have issues, get sick, things like that.
There are some diseases. Most notably is a disease that's just come in from Asia a few years ago. It's called KHV, for koi herpes virus. And it kills everything in your pond if you happen to import a fish that has it. So now, to import a fish from any other country, they have to be quarantined and inspected, blood tested, and checked out by a special fish veterinarian before you can offer them for sale legally in the United States.
I would imagine then that koi are something that people have on their properties. They're not something you're going to find just in a river?
Oh, no. In the river, you'll find carp, which are kind of fun. And I know that people fish for them because they're a great big heavy fish and fun to catch, but they're not much good to eat. And the koi are a very different, highly bred animal. It's like looking at the difference between a coyote and your very special little shih tzu or whatever you have.
Now, what about, you mentioned earlier, issues with predators, too.
Predators are a real problem. there was a pond up above the fairgrounds, across the freeway from the fairgrounds, that had a river otter make its way all the way up there and cleaned it out.
Wow. So you've got to be kind of vigilant for that. And obviously some of the animals, based on their size, would maybe get around some of the things you would normally put up that might be an obstacle.
That's true. Most of my fish are quite large, and I don't worry about a heron, but I have a couple of little guys in there that I'm growing up just because it's fun to watch. And they luckily tend to hide a lot. And I provide, in the wintertime when there aren't lily pads, I provide some hiding places for them.
Now, how did these ponds fare in the winter, especially if you're in a place that maybe has a little bit more extreme weather?
You know, it's pretty simple, because a pond can freeze over and the koi will do fine. My pond froze during Snowmageddon, and there wasn't any problem. I keep my waterfall going all the time, and the depth of the pond will stabilize the temperature a bit, because if you get down 5 or 6 feet, the temperature of the soil is going to be quite a bit warmer than the temperature of the air.
Now, have you ever, other than predators, do people ever have big problems with these ponds?
Not really. Algae seems to be a problem, and if you can limit the amount of sunlight, the algae shouldn't be a big deal. And there are also ultraviolet filters you can get, where you pump the water through a chamber with a very bright ultraviolet light that kills the algae, and that helps keep it clearer. But not serious problems, really.
Now, I know last week when you were on Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, you talked about an issue with koi and a pond up the North Umpqua. Up, I think, around by the Dogwood Motel.
Oh, that's right. Dogwood Motel is kind of an interesting place, because the owner is Norm Call, and he's a former koi judge. He has a great little pond. He's got great water coming out of the hills there. And kind of a nice place to stop and visit, or if you're fishing up there, a nice place to spend the night. He did have a problem, though, during the big fire last year, and they ended up with some members of our club getting together with some firefighters and going up to rescue his fish. They hauled them all down to Medford to a holding tank that was available, and held them until he got things straightened out there and the water quality was back, and he has most of his fish survived.
Wow.
He even has an interesting fish there if you go up and take a look. He has a koi that was born without eyes, absolutely blind, gets along just fine, seems to find all the food it needs, and happy and healthy, just blind.
Wow. So about a minute and a half left on Inside Douglas County. Let's kind of recap things for people again about what time and what is happening on Saturday.
10 to 3 on Saturday with the auction at 2 o'clock. You get tickets for the tour there for the next day. Tickets are $5 for adults, and you'll get a list of ponds and some directions to get to them. We encourage people to come and pick up tickets and go on the tour, because that's where you really get the feeling of owning a pond and having it in your yard.
Now, if you just come to the event on Saturday, is there a cost for that?
Nothing, no cost there, unless you want to buy something. You know, if you see a fish and you have a place to put it, yes, you could spend some money, although our auction tends to be quite reasonable on prices.
Now, if people want to find out more, do you have a social media site or anything?
You can go to Oregon Koi and Water Garden Society on Facebook, or you can call me at 541-671-5341.
And you guys do this every year, right?
Every year. We're planning next year already.
All right, Jim Daniel talking about the Koi Expo and the Koi Pond Tour happening this weekend. Again, the Expo Saturday at Sherm's Thunderbird, and the Pond Tour around the community on Sunday. Jim, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listen. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.